Verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." The word comforter there is the word that all Bible students know. It means legal aid. Helper means attorney, if you please. A lawyer. Or someone to run to another side. A succorer, if you please. It means that, now our Lord is going back to heaven. He says, "I am going to give you an attorney to plead your case. I'm going to give you, while I'm gone, somebody to run to your side and help you when you have need." But now, in verse 18, we have about the same word, but doesn't mean the same. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now look at verse 16 again. "He shall give you another comforter." Verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless." Now, it seems to me the Lord would use the same word there, but he doesn't. He changes from the word paraclete in verse 16 to the word orphanos in verse 18, which means orphan. It's the word from which we get our word orphan. So what he says in verse 16, I will send you an attorney, a legal aid, someone to run to your side, someone to pick you up when you've fallen. And then he says, "I will not leave you as orphans." Now, actually, it's not the same subject, but it is the same subject. Now, in verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, that word is a little twist from the first word, but it means sort of this. It is a word that corresponds with the word Messiah. It is used concerning the Messiah. The Holy Spirit is likened here to the Messiah. In other words, the Jews are looking and have been looking for these years for the Messiah. Now, Jesus said, "I, the Messiah, am going away. But I'm going to send you another Messiah." And that Messiah, that you can look for him, just like you have looked for me through all these years. Now, for the next few days, you can look for another Messiah who's going to come to you, and his name is the Comforter. Now, the word "another" in verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter." Now, that word "another" is an interesting word also. It does not mean, it's not the word heteros in the Greek, which means another kind. It's the word A-L-L-O-S, which spell it, which means another of the same kind. He said, "I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another of the same kind. Another of the Godhead. Another like me." That's why he said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you." What does it mean? "I, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, will come unto you." Now, I wish I had more time to teach. I don't have enough time. I just want to say a few words this morning about this amazing truth. In 1949, I was pastoring the Grange Hall Baptist Church outside of Marshall, Texas. One day about noon, someone rushed into the church and said, "Pastor, come quickly. A man has died with a heart attack just down the road. And by the way, that's going to happen to you one of these days. You've got to die. You've got to face God. I have to die if our Lord does not return soon. I have to face God." I got in the car and rushed down to this house, and when I got there, and I think I've mentioned this a time or two here before, a little lady was up on top of her husband, giving him artificial respiration. She had pushed in artificial respiration, and then she'd slap him in the face and say, "Wake up, George! Wake up, George!" And then she'd push again, and then she'd shake his head, "Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!" And I said, "There's no need for that. He's dead." That man, the Sunday night before, that was on Tuesday at noon, the Sunday night before, that man had come into our services. I had preached a sermon that's in one of my books on the subject to hell and back. He walked out the back door and I called him by name and I said, "Mister," called him by name, I said, "Don't you want to become a Christian?" And he said, "I'll become a Christian in my own time in my own way. But he did not reckon on the scripture, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth. He did not reckon on the scripture, he that being often reproved and hardened of his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Young people back here, be quiet while I'm preaching. Hey, be quiet while I'm preaching. Young girl with the long black hair, picking her nose right now. For you visitors, I'd like to say this is one place the teenagers don't revolt or don't rebel. In our schools, 'tis the dean who holds the students hostage. We have the strangest belief around here. Peculiar. We think the parents ought to run the kids. Something completely new. Revolutionary thought. We have the strangest feeling. We think the pastor ought to have some authority in the church. Amen. Most unusual thing you ever saw in your life. Remind you of the book of Acts. We have the strangest feelings around here and convictions. We think that the administrators ought to run the school. We don't even allow the students to publish a newspaper without the permission of the administration and the editing of the administration. You say, you don't believe in freedom of speech. You're getting warm. And the lady looked up and she said, Pastor. And she began to tremble and she said, he's dead. And then she said, who will tell the three children? Who will tell the children? I got in my little car and drove up Highway 43 to a little school called the Grange Hall Grade School. Turned left off the highway and drove up a little winding path and got the three children out of school. Took them out in the front of the school. When they left that morning, their dad was as healthy as we think we are this morning. They did not know he was dead. And I called them by name and I said, kids, Brother House loves you. And I'm about to tell you something that's going to break your heart. I said, your daddy had a heart attack this morning. And he's dead. Those kids asked four questions or made four statements. The first statement, I don't know which child said which. One said, we're left alone. Another said, who will provide for us now? The little girl said, I'll be scared at night. And another said, Daddy's always taught us how to live. Who's going to teach us now? And I said to them, I said, number one, you're not left alone. Brother Hiles is going to see to it you're cared for. Number two, you only live about a half a mile, Brother Hiles. You pick up the telephone when you get scared, you call me and I'll be there. Number three, I'll see to it that you have food to eat. And number four, I'll teach you I'll teach you what you need to be taught. I'll be your dad. I'll be your dad. For 3 years, day and night, the apostles had been with our Lord. For 3 years, they had run to him when they need. For 3 years, he had borne their burdens. For 3 years, he had solved their problems. For 3 years, they had known him intimately, much as a father would walk in and out of it with his children and care for his children, did our Lord care for his disciples. And now suddenly he breaks the news to them. He's about to be taken. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He had announced the fact that he was going away. You can imagine how perplexed they were. Suppose, for example, in your home today, suddenly the doctor said, your father cannot live over 24 hours, and you knew all of a sudden, in 24 hours, Dad was going to be taken. The dad to whom you'd look for provision and protection, and the dad to whom you'd looked as your idol and your ideal and as your model. Suddenly he's gone. Well, that's the way they felt. Fear gripped their souls and anxiety gripped their hearts. And I'm sure they began to talk. What do we do now? The Lord, Thomas said, how shall we know the way? And what can we do now? And they were perplexed and worried and concerned because he who was their captain, their father, their leader, their burden bearer, their problem solver, their strength, their succorer, he's gone. But he gathers them around a circle and he says, don't worry, fellas. I'll not leave you orphaned. I'll not leave you orphans. I will send you another attorney, lawyer, comforter, builder-upper, roadie-aside, succorer, even the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that if we just knew today the potential that God has given us in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't fret so much. I mentioned a while ago all the things. Man, I'll tell you, I said this morning in Sunday school, I'm like the Texan that got on the horse and rode off in all directions. Honestly, you can't even comprehend. I've got school teachers. I interview every school teacher, teaches in any of our schools. You say, why do you do it? Well, I didn't do it for a while, but we hired people like Staub and people like that and Coach Price, and I thought, good night, we're not going to blow it anymore. And I interview all the teachers and all the teachers for the college, and I approve everything that goes on, and I keep my finger on all of it all the time, and the 84 counseling sessions a week, and the building program out here, and all the decisions about the building program, and added to that the closing of the seminary deal, and having to get the $200,000, and try to spend some time in study the Bible, and traveling across the country. I leave tomorrow morning and fly to Los Angeles and preach out there a couple days and fly back here on Wednesday, plus the Sunday school, plus the pastoring of the staff and the administration of the church and all the duties. You say, preacher, how can you take it? How can you take it? I tell you how I can take it. The dear Lord, when he went away, he left me the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm going to give you somebody as you... When I get in trouble, I just go to my legal counsel. We have an attorney here visiting this morning. Folks go to see him. They say, I go to my legal counsel. That's where I go. By the way, the one I go to is a lot less expensive than you guys, too, I'll tell you for sure. And I just go to my legal counsel. And, for example, what can I do? Dear Lord, we've got to have a principal. We need a principal. Lord, we got three schools and two principals. What can I do? Dear Lord, about that building next door. And we need to get the thing fixed up. And the poor Sunbeam department, the retarded children, they need a nice place. But that old building, what can I do? And Lord, the teenagers going upstairs on the fourth floor, and every Sunday morning the classes are all turned upside down, and the teenagers, they're not rowdy kids, but they are kids. And the superintendent say, my microphone is gone, and where is the teacher says, where is the poster that's on my wall? And we don't know. And Lord, what can we do about that? We need a place for the kids to be. And Lord, how are we going to make money at the grade school? We got to break even. We're losing money at the grade. What can we do? And I just call up my legal counsel. And I say, Holy Spirit, would you give me some wisdom I do not naturally have? And the Holy Spirit gives the answer. And time and time and time again, it's that way. I wish you knew him this morning. I wish you knew him. Let me call your attention very quickly the four statements these little children made. Brother Hiles, we're left alone. We're left alone. And this is true. They could no longer run to Daddy's knee. 'Tis true, they could no longer run and jump up on Daddy's lap. 'Tis true, they could no longer hear the car driving in the driveway in the evening time and run out, and Daddy's home, Daddy's home. 'Tis true, that's all gone now. Daddy's gone. Daddy's gone. I can recall at the funeral, a little girl looked down at the father's face and said, Daddy, talk to me. Daddy, talk to me. His lips are still. His eyes are shut. His feet cannot walk. His legs cannot move. His arms cannot reach out to embrace the children anymore. But blessed be God, Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. You're no orphan this morning. Yes, he's gone. We can't see his face. I'll be glad we can. We can't touch his hands and see the scars. I'll be glad we can. But we can't. But let me tell you something this morning. Jesus is just as real to me as if he were walking down that aisle this morning. I want to see him. God knows I do. I want to see him. And the older I get, the more I want to see his face. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. But though I cannot see him, and I cannot say with John, these eyes have beheld him, these hands have touched him, I cannot see it. He's just as real to me, and just as precious, and just as much with me, and just as near as if he were actually sitting right here on the chair this morning. And he's that way for you. God hasn't left you an orphan. You don't have to be perplexed. He's still with you. You recall the story that I've told and others have told. It so illustrates this. A little boy and his mother and dad lived together, just the three of them. And one day, suddenly, the mother was taken ill, and soon she died. And the little boy was so brokenhearted, and the dad was lonely. And they had the services and buried the mother, and they came back home. Little boy went to his bed that night, and his dad tried to sleep, but he couldn't. The little boy couldn't sleep. And the little boy through the darkness said, "Daddy, can I come and sleep with you?" And the daddy said, "Yes, you may, son." And the little boy went in and he slept with his daddy. And he still was missing his mother. And his heart was broken. And in the dark of the night, the little boy looked up and couldn't see his daddy because it was dark. And he said, "Daddy, Daddy." And the father said, "Yes, son. What is it?" He said, "Daddy, is your face turn toward me?" And the daddy said, "Yes, it is." And the little boy said, "I couldn't see it through the darkness, but it's easier, Daddy, if you'd hold my hand and turn your face toward me." Oh, for these 28 or 29 years, I've been preaching the gospel of Christ. And I've been in the valleys, and you've been in the valleys, and I've had heartaches, and you've had heartaches. But blessed be God, this morning, or any time, if you're in the darkness this morning, maybe you're facing the surgeon's knife, or this morning, the dearest of life. We have young people in our church who are not well, and a young boy in our church for whom I'm so concerned, and for whom I've prayed so much lately, and over whom I've shed so many tears about his health. And we have men in the service, several this morning, who have cancer, and the doctors say it's terminal. And I think about you, and I pray for you. But let me tell you something this morning, beloved. Not only does your pastor care, but God's face is turned towards you this morning. And he said, "I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to dispense one of the three members of the triune Godhead. And he's going to come. And he will be with you. And he'll never leave you or forsake you." The second statement the little child made said, "Who will provide for us?" I can recall taking those children back home. It was around noontime. And I wanted to feed them a bite. Brother Sully, I opened the door to the cabinet, and there was hardly any food in the cabinet. It was a simple little house, and the mother didn't have much, and very poor people. And the father's gone. In fact, his body was still lying covered up by a blanket back in the back bedroom. The house faced south, and on the south, northeast corner of the house, his body was lying back there. And the little girl went back and pulled back the cover and saw her daddy's face. And she knew her daddy wasn't saved, and she knew their daddy was in hell. She knew her daddy. Where would you be if you suddenly died this morning? She knew he was in hell. She pulled back his face, and she had pulled back his cover and saw his face. She said, "Daddy, talk to me, talk to me." And I recalled that she had said, "Who will provide for us?" And I can recall getting the Bible down, sitting down. The Bible. And I got the children together, and I got the mother over here. Now, the little girl sat on the floor, and the teenage boy sat over here on my side. And I opened my Bible. I turned to Philippians, the 4th chapter, and read, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I turned to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 and read, But "seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I spent a while just explaining to those children that God would take care and supply. Don't you see? Our Lord is going back to heaven. He's away. He's not here. His feet do not walk on our soil. His eyes do not see us. Our eyes cannot see him. Our hands cannot feel him. But hallelujah! He's promised to take care of all of his people. And "I'll not leave you an orphan," he said. "I'll take care of you." Oh, through these years. Listen to me this morning. Listen to me. Last night I walked out of the meeting and I went to my office.
And I clapped my hands and cried. And I said, praise God for the way he's led that deacon board through these years. You know, Brother Fisk, we're not schoolmen. I went to school all my life, but I never enjoyed it. You know one thing I've enjoyed about this school? I sat back in the class time and time again when that teacher would say, stand still! And I'd say, I'd like to someday get back at school, teachers. And now I'm a superintendent. And all my vengeance I'm pouring back on the school teacher. What I know about schools. But I thought last night, just a few years ago, we stood out here across the street one morning and saw these buildings go up in flame. Two of our four buildings go up in flames. And that though we don't know much about it, the dear Lord, who else? How else could it be that a bunch of common people like us, I mean just average people, how else could it be we could meet night after night in that chapel over there of the places and build a high school and build two grade schools and build a college and build the buildings we built here and build a church whose fame is going around the world? I'll tell you how. We're not orphans, that's how. And the dear Holy Spirit has directed us week after week and day after day. He's going to provide for us. You said, Brother Hiles, are you concerned about the 2.5 million? Sure I am. Sure. Keeps me awake more than all the other things put together. I'm concerned about it. But God's going to see us through it. Brother Hiles, you're going to get the $200,000 before the 21st of June. You concerned about it? Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. But God's going to see us through it. I mean, God's going to do it. He always has. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Oh, say 3 cheers this morning. He went away, but he didn't leave us orphans. He sent the Holy Spirit to provide for us. But, Brother Hiles, I'll be afraid at night without Daddy home. I remember the morning my dad turned to walk away from our house. I remember when I got on my knees and said, Daddy, wouldn't you rather have me than a bottle of whiskey? He turned and walked away. I never came back. I remember that first night. I remember the little back room where I slept. Couldn't have been over 6 by 8. I remember a clock we had on the wall. Remember how it ticked. And I remember sleeping for the first night realizing my daddy would never come back again. I remember trying to sleep and couldn't. I remember that clock ticking on the wall. I remember Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going away. They said, we don't want you to go away. You're our strength. You're our teacher. You're our guide. You're our provider. You're our succorer. We don't want you to go away. Jesus said, if I go away, I won't leave you orphans. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You won't have to be afraid at night. I got the Bible down. And I said now to those little three children, I said, your daddy's gone, but I want to read you something. And I got the Bible and I turned it over here to the blessed truths of the 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noise of pestilence. And I recall trying to comfort those little kids and that family because Daddy was gone. I'd like to comfort you the same way this morning. God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. He will take care of you. But he said, Daddy's always taught us. Who will teach us? And that's what they said. Who will teach us, Jesus? You've taught us. You've led us. You've fed us. You've borne our burdens.
You've been with us, and now you're going away. We don't want you to go. But Jesus said, I won't leave you orphans. I'll send you another comforter, even the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. I mentioned a while ago, and I'm going to close with this. Listen to this. I mentioned a while ago, yesterday morning, a man from East, owner, I think, of a business, big public relations business. He had heard of our church. He had heard of the 23,000 we had in Sunday school. He wanted to come and talk to me about our church, what makes it tick. He wanted to publish some things about our church, I think. Very fine man. Very fine man. He said, "What makes the church tick?" I never satisfied him. I tried to tell him, but it didn't seem like what he wanted. "Well, I want to know." So I tried to tell him. It never did seem like it came out right. I tell you why. You can't explain this church, brother, without the power of the Holy Spirit. No way in the world you can explain it. We don't use all the fancy methods. People oftentimes say, "You have used computers at your church?" I don't know whether you eat computers with salt or pepper. No, we don't use computers. You against computers? No, I'm not against them. I haven't learned how to type yet. I'll get a computer. Do you know, per capita, what the per capita giving is of your people? No, I just preach the devil out of them and pass the plates. A lot of you still got a little devil in you, but I'm preaching out of you. Well, and finally he shook his head and said, "This is sort of unusual." Yeah, it's unusual. It's very unusual. It's unusual that God would take a wild hillbilly Texas preacher reared in a drunkard's home, poverty stricken all his life, bring him up here to Yankee Land, Chicago. Only people I ever knew that lived in Chicago was John Dillinger and Al Capone. Now it's three of us. Dillinger, Capone, and Hiles have been up there. Yeah, it's unusual. It's unusual. It's unusual that the first Sunday I'd come here and didn't know what to do. Made a fool of myself. Or at least I showed I was already a fool. It's unusual. It's unusual God to take that poor little sort of dumb kid, anoint him with the Holy Spirit, bring him to this area. It's unusual that right here in this old downtown area, the biggest church in the world would grow up. It's unusual. I'll tell you why it's unusual. It's unusual because in this book, there's a wonderful truth told. That wonderful truth tells us that we don't have to have natural ability or talent. If we'll just yield what we do have and do our best and yield it to the dear Holy Spirit, He'll take us like He took the loaves and fishes of yesteryear and feed with them the 5,000. I just say this morning, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that when Jesus went back to heaven, He said, "I'll not leave you orphans." Don't you wish you had this? Brother Fisk, we preach on funerals. Don't you wonder how folks that aren't saved take it? Wonder how they take it? Are you saved this morning? Do you know Him as your Savior? It's a pretty sin-sick old world, isn't it? Pick up your paper and read it. Could make you have a nervous breakdown, couldn't it? Unless you have the Holy Spirit. Look at your television sometime and see all the wickedness and lewdness and riots and war and all the hatred men have for each other and man's inhumanity to man could make you crack up. Unless you have the Holy Spirit. Look all around you and see that dirty filth that goes on. And everything's falling apart. And the highest office of our land is tottering on the top of our nation. And the highest court of our land seems to be frustrated. And all of our courts and our Congress, our legislature, our leaders don't seem to know the way. Well, bless God, I know Him who is the way. Amen. This morning, if you don't know Him, I wish you did. You can walk out those doors today with the Spirit of God in your breast and your home being prepared in heaven. Jesus is your Savior. You don't have to be frustrated. You don't have to crack up. Everybody's about to crack up. Everybody's taking tranquilizers. Everybody's taking pills. Ha-ha pills, boo-hoo pills, oh-oh pills, ha-ha pills, pills. As the old preacher I heard preach a convention sermon down in Texas one night right before I preached said, he said, all kinds of pills. He said, ladies and gentlemen, they're little pills. They're big pills. They're pink pills, yellow pills, and white pills. They're strong pills and weak pills. There's round pills, oblong pills. But he said, the pill that you need is the gospel. And that's the pill you need this morning. The gospel. And that'll cure all your ails. All of them. Because the Savior said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you as an orphan. It's a pretty bleak old picture in America today. It's a pretty tough old world to live in, isn't it? Unless you've got somebody with you. Even the dear, sweet, wonderful, comforting, protecting, providing Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads, please, for prayer?